What makes this narrative that much juicier?
I think I know where you're going, but I will allow you to elaborate.
Who do they need to draft the following season?
Who?
I know you know who I'm going to say.
Because I know how your mind works. And I think you would put together a team based on social content in mind.
We're drafting Bronny.
Welcome to the Basketball Forever podcast. I'm Nick Jungfer, head of content here. I'm with Alex, the founder. How's it going, mate?
Good. How are you?
I'm very well. How'd you find episode one? Have you had good feedback? Or have you been roasted within an inch of your life?
Oh, I was roasted within an inch of my life. Yes, definitely. I think. But I
welcome to the new media, right?
That comes with the Basketball Forever territory.
I mean, it does.
You're not really a part of Basketball Forever unless you're getting torn to pieces. True.
Right. By complete strangers, but also
I love it,
close friends as well.
Yeah.
That's always fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm just glad that the season's finally here too.
Yes. The season's here. Exciting times. The dog days, thank God, finally over.
Yeah, it felt like it was really dragging for a bit there.
It's really only a few months, but it might as well be, I don't know, a year or two.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're back in business.
Mm.
We have lots to talk about.
We do.
Now, sometimes you get an idea that you're particularly happy with. I can just tell when you're feeling extra good about a little angle that you've come up with. So drop the bomb on us. What's the one you've got in mind today?
The thing that I've been thinking about is I see the Oklahoma City Thunder being in one of the most unique positions in NBA history. I think they have a chance here to build a narrative and a team that could go down in history as, you know, one of the most interesting stories in NBA history. So I'll kind of break it down for you how I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, let's hear the framework.
Yeah, here's the framework, right? You've got an OKC team that is young, but they've got, you know, some talented players. Obviously, Shea is incredible, and we got to see a bit of a breakout season from him last year.
Mm.
And that was great to watch. He was amazing on my fantasy team as well until, you know, Presti shut it all down.
Well, as long as he's amazing on your fantasy team, that's
the only
obviously
thing that
the most important. Yeah,
exactly.
Good.
Giddy, an incredible pickup. People thought that Giddy was drafted early initially ahead of projected, and he is a phenomenal pick, obviously. Mm. Incredibly talented, has now set an NBA record, rookie record for triple-doubles, the youngest to ever do it. And multiple times over.
Lovely guy too. You won't meet a more polite man than Josh Giddey.
But one of the nicest players in the NBA, bar none. And everyone in his circle and everyone around him is really, really great too.
Agreed.
So you've already got that kind of that base of talent. Now, they go and draft Chet, who, I mean, it's really unfortunate what happened to him injury-wise, but there's an element of it that has, you know, a bit of a blessing in disguise feel in that, yes, he got injured, but he's incredibly talented. Everyone, I mean, we saw, you and I went to the Summer League and we watched him play. And he was amazing to watch there for some of the games that we saw. You could just see the talent there.
Oh, he's picking shots out of the air.
Yeah.
Like blocking them towards the top of the backboard. He had some, you know, wild moments.
Yeah. And I think you've got a huge challenge. He's a number two pick. Now, he's out, which I just feel like that gives OKC another chance at a tank.
Sam Presti's licking his lips in a way. I've got to be careful here because a really great prospect suffered a serious injury.
Of course.
But you cannot tell me that Sam Presti, there's not like 1% of them that's like, oh, twist my arm if I have to tank again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's like the expert tanker. He's a professional tanker.
Oh, yeah.
No one knows how to shut down a team better than Sam Presti. I think he's got the blueprint.
Sam Hinkie would like a word, but
oh, yeah. That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. But he just in recent years.
Oh, he's the current GOAT.
He's
the best currently, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, even how he managed last season. It was textbook.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the I just feel like someone's going to, you know, sneeze and have a nosebleed, and that'll be a reason to shut them down after All-Star break this year.
Like, oh, yeah.
It's kind of got that feeling about it. So I think if Thunder are able to do that and they potentially tank for Victor, who is one of probably regarded as the most talented prospect in NBA history. They're saying at least since LeBron James.
And at the very least, the most exciting. Mm. Who's gone out there and shown such a wide variety of things like him?
No one. I mean, yeah. I'm blown away watching
his highlights. He can do everything at 7'4". It's ridiculous. So he's an incredible prospect coming out. So if there was ever a year where you were going to tank for an extra year, this would be the time.
Now, of course, tanking has risks. You might not get the draft pick you want. You might not get that number one pick. And that number one pick is the only pick that's going to get Victor. True?
True.
So what is the only team in the NBA that, if they didn't get the number one pick, could have enough draft picks to trade for the number one pick?
Yeah, exactly. OKC. They have 38 picks.
38 picks.
In their arsenal over the coming years.
How many of those picks do you think Victor's worth?
Oh, this is the thing where it's an excellent question. Even if you were to throw you can have 8 picks.
Yeah.
I'm still thinking, well, I don't know.
But
how often does Victor come along? Once in a generation, just about.
I think that there would be a number that you could bait every GM into giving up that
spot. At least get them on the phone, yeah.
If you said, I'll give you 10 picks for Victor, I mean, that's like a diversity of... I mean,
depends how high they're going to be and all the rest.
At that point, you're diversifying. Like, you're really, really, like, limiting your exposure to risk. It's not an all your eggs in one basket play. Now you've kind of just, you know, put less eggs, but across 10 baskets.
Right.
I think that it's probably... You could definitely make the argument that it's a safer foundation. Of course, you don't get that Victor upside. I understand that. But I think that you could... There would be a number... You could start negotiating, and OKC are the only team in the NBA with enough in their arsenal in order to make a play at Victor, regardless of what pick they have in the draft.
And they are going to be a reasonable shot.
Anyway.
And even if it's not one, maybe they get two and say, we'll give you Scoot, 5 or 6 more juicy picks, and maybe, I don't know, Shea or an extra legit player.
I'm not done. Now you've got the Twin Towers, Victor and Chet. One was the top draft pick this year. One will be the number one prospect in NBA history since LeBron James.
So basically you've got Chet and who Chet thinks he is or wishes he was.
Exactly. Now, Victor.
Chet on steroids.
What are we doing? What's going to make this narrative just that much juicier? What makes this narrative that much juicier? Well,
I think I know where you're going, but I will allow you to elaborate.
Who do they need to draft the following season?
Who?
You know. I know you know who I'm going to say.
I know, because I know how your mind works. And I think you would put together a team based on, with like a social content in mind. Yeah. And if you were to put a team together with social content in mind.
Drafting Bronny.
Yes.
We are drafting Bronny. Yeah. We're locking up LeBron on some vet minimum deal because you know he's going wherever Bronny's going.
Right.
As soon as deal is done with the Lakers.
He's even said he'll do whatever. He doesn't care about the money.
He'll do whatever it takes.
To be on Bronny's team.
He is going to OKC with Bronny. Now you've created a father and son duo on a current NBA team, and you've created a team that also has the best draft prospect since LeBron James and LeBron James. On the one team, you have the Chet and Victor Twin Towers. You have one of the greatest, passing point guards in the NBA or, you know, potential future walking triple-double, the youngest in NBA history, and... You have one of the most talented, scoring guards in the NBA currently in Shea. That is a squad. That is one of the greatest, I mean.
So do you think this will happen or is just a wet dream of yours?
Do you not think it's not that crazy? You've got, again, let's just quickly do a really quick recap. You've already got Chet. You've already got Giddy. You've already got Shea. Victor is in sight, whether you're tanking for him or you're trading for him. OKC is the one team that can do both of those things pretty easily with just draft picks alone. Bronny, with all those draft picks, Bronny is still within reach in the draft. You could go a little bit earlier for him, knowing that it's locking up LeBron James for you. How's that too crazy? You're telling me that none of this has crossed Sam Presti's mind at any point?
He's all about the young guys. Don't get me wrong. I want this to happen so badly. I'm not saying it can't happen. From a devil's advocate standpoint, Presti's all about building this young team. He's bringing in a 40-year-old LeBron. But yeah, the devil's advocate to the devil's advocate is, yeah, but he's getting him on, he could get him on a vet minimum. So that's the one thing where it's like maybe you could slash would, but it's looking like Bronny's going to be, you know, good but not great as an NBA player, like a rotation player, but maybe not. Nothing.
It wouldn't matter.
So you, as in they would do it for,
even if it doesn't work out.
So you're saying they would do it for like a publicity money making thing?
I mean that sells out like every game, in my view.
It'd be
Victor and LeBron playing side by side, Bronny and LeBron playing side by side, Chet and Victor together, Giddy just passing full court lobs.
Yeah.
Shea dropping 40. What the? That's the dream. That you could almost make the argument that OKC team is more exciting and has more potential than KD, Harden, and Russ.
Oh, you really said that.
I mean, that was a great team. They went to the finals. They didn't get it done, but they were three future MVPs altogether.
They went to the finals when they were so young and, you know, not even in their primes yet. James Harden was still six-man James Harden. That's a huge call.
It's one of the biggest what-if teams call ever. But, I mean, in terms of just box office, this potential team would trump that team.
It would in terms of box office. I don't know about it's better than three MVPs. Victor will be MVP level. Bronny won't.
I mean, LeBron's a former MVP.
Shea and Giddy are great, but they'll probably be not league MVPs. Is it really better than three league MVPs? From a narrative standpoint, oh yeah. Like, it'll be Oklahoma City will be Showtime.
Yeah.
Which is a really weird thing to say. It's like the bright lights of LA.
Yeah.
And then, what is it, Tiger King, where he says, in the middle of buttfuck Oklahoma? Like, it's like the middle of nowhere, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
And yet, it'll be like Showtime Lakers vibes.
Yeah. I think that would just be, that turns OKC, a small market team, into, like, that's must-watch TV every night.
I want someone to run a team how we would.
Oh my gosh.
Where we're just thinking of ticket sales, TV ratings, championships. I'd still want titles.
But it wouldn't even matter. That team with Giddy, Shea, Victor and Chet, even without LeBron, that's a team of the future.
That's the part that's definitely achievable.
Yeah.
And then it sounds crazy to have LeBron and Bronny there, but if you can get Bronny, you've got LeBron, and they'll have more picks than anyone.
Mm.
So they'll have multiple picks in that particular draft in 2024, and then they can just trade more for future years.
I think it's
so
worth it.
So they really wanted the Bronny thing is going to be so interesting.
Yeah.
How high does Bronny's price become, his market price? You know, does someone take him insanely high? Does someone trade?
Originally,
does OKC or someone trade like six picks just to get Bronny, who?
Because you know it's a package deal. So you're not just, it'll be one of the most interesting transactions in NBA history, too.
Yeah.
Because it's such a, on paper, it'll make no sense no matter what the deal is.
Mm.
But you know that it's a package deal.
You're not only getting LeBron, but probably for whatever price you want.
Exactly. And then what's that worth? Because, you know, LeBron James right now, I mean, ESPN projects him to average 29, 7.5, and 5, or 5.5. That's meant to be his line this year, his current age.
Mm.
I mean, in 2 years' time, what's the drop off like? What does that LeBron look like? Okay, let's just call it 25 and 5.
He'll be more than serviceable, even
25 and 5, and you're paying a couple of million dollars for it.
Yeah.
I mean, there are people that are making $25 million putting up those sorts of numbers. So I don't know. And then you get all that leadership experience, all that championship experience, just insights, you know, one great all-time draft prospect to another, just imparting wisdom. What's that worth? Is that worth the vet minimum? Yes. Is that worth trading a couple of extra bum picks for Bronny? Yes. That to me is one of the most compelling and interesting storylines in the NBA to date.
Also, who's running point with Giddy, Shea, and LeBron wanting to run, have the ball in his hands? That'll be interesting. Maybe you have to trade Shea.
Maybe Shea would go, think about what you'd get in return for Shea.
Such a deal sweetener if you're trying to say they needed to trade up to get Victor or something.
You definitely don't trade Giddy, I think. And I think Giddy's still got to run the point. I think LeBron can play off ball. I think
if you
works.
Can convince him.
Well, I mean, he does it currently.
To like play entirely off the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, Westbrook's still, he's bringing it up and he's kind of kickstarting the offense technically, a lot of the time.
Yeah, yeah.
But I guess who knows?
Funny how our hot takes seem to come back to OKC, because I was arguing for Russ to head back there and
that's true.
OKC to just kind of get him in to increase the tank job and everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, we love an OKC conspiracy.
We have really liked, we've been on the OKC train for a bit, and I just think it's because it's one of those teams that just, they're at that sort of fork in the road where they could really now carve out something quite special from what they've done. It's taken a lot of time, energy, and patience. And we're at that point now. Do you start considering making the move that solidifies you as one of the all-time, I'm not going to say great teams, but all-time most interesting teams?
That's the thing, when you've stayed the course for so long to grow organically through the draft with young players.
Mm.
I think there could be a reluctance there when that's how you've done it this whole time to then go, bang, let's get LeBron.
Yeah.
Or, you know, fast track the process in any way that feels sort of organic.
But you're not really, are you? Because you're not fast tracking the process. Well, you're getting him at the
top. LeBron is the one thing that doesn't fit, but then in terms of age and timeline and everything, but like I said, you get him at that price, maybe you just got to...
I don't know.
You've got to just give it a try if you're getting him at that price.
I think you're getting him at that price, and I think that's, like you said, more than serviceable.
Yeah.
I mean, most other teams dream of a player that, and I guess you're not really getting, you're getting him for the, it's the Andre Iguodala experience, you know?
Imagine if you,
with Golden State, you're just getting that guy.
Imagine if you pulled all this off, LeBron comes in and's like, right, I'm trading you. Because
he wouldn't.
He loves to trade.
I know.
The young guys. He'd be like, Victor, you're great, but you'll be in your prime in 5 years from now. No use to me. Get out of here. You know, he wouldn't do it to Victor, but you know what I mean? He'd want to do it to everyone else.
I think at that point.
At that age, though, you got to say LeBron. You can't pull a LeBron. You can't pull a GM. We're not giving you that power. Interestingly, that was the word, apologies to whoever reported it, possibly The Athletic, but where there were reports coming out saying, look, the Cavs would entertain a LeBron return, but not if he's going to be the GM, because they really like their young team and it would have to be a similar arrangement. Any promising young team he goes to.
Mm. I mean, that's obviously an admission, right? Like, GM is not a myth. That's not a rumor. That is...
No, it's so clear.
A part of his, like...
And he's a horrible evaluator of talent. Like, he wants to... The Lakers, you know, they just fill the team with guys who are LeBron's mates who are old now.
Yeah, even the Cavs in the back end there were doing it.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember they had one of those... That one of the most cooked rosters I've ever seen.
Oh, like the old Dwayne Wade...
Derrick Rose
when he was particularly struggling.
They're Isaiah Thomas. They got J.R. Smith back.
And they traded half that team midway through the year.
That was a disgusting season.
A weird year.
Really weird. So, you know, that speaks to his judgment. I wouldn't put him in charge. I wouldn't have him in charge of a team.
Right.
And I think when he goes to OKC.
The best players just make the worst GMs and coaches and all of that.
That's so true.
Owners too sometimes.
Absolutely. And I just think that if he goes to OKC, I don't think it's one of the – I think that's a – he'll have his, like, come to Jesus moment of, like, self-awareness where he understands the role that he's playing in this team. And I know that – I just feel like he would not – he's not expecting a championship. It's not a championship or bust with this. He understands that he's sort of coming along for the ride to be with his son, to have – a moment in NBA history and in his lifetime that's going to be super special and very, very cool.
That's
going to
be the crucial thing. If he can kind of put championship or bust aside, it's one thing to say it. It's another thing to lace them up, look around and be like, these guys are a few years away.
Yeah.
That will be the challenge for him, probably wherever he goes. It's funny to think, isn't it? Like, isn't it funny to think that LeBron, where he goes... unless he can somehow strong arm a particular team into drafting Bronny, he is at the mercy of whoever drafts Bronny.
Yeah.
Basically. He just end up on the Pacers or the Hornets or the God knows where.
Yeah.
Unless he's got some strings to pull behind the scenes or can pull something off to get Bronny where he wants him to go.
How many teams do you think are realistically thinking about this opportunity for LeBron? I'm confident that it has to be on OKC's mind just because of the unique position they're in. But
you know who else I think it would be?
There's got to be others.
I think for sure some of those teams that have been irrelevant for so long and they would make a sort of even a potentially short sight, say, okay, LeBron's 40, probably get him for 2 years and he's out.
Mm.
But just to make a quick splash, like Sacramento, Charlotte, they're not. They've never like done a good job of looking to the future, even though they probably should.
Mm.
And they're desperate. They want to make a splash. They want to actually sell some tickets. Wouldn't surprise me if teams like that did it.
I wonder if there's like a dignity thing at one point. Do you think like at any point there becomes a situation that's just too crazy for LeBron to opt into? He has to like level with Bronny and be like, hey, I know this was kind of the plan. This was kind of the dream, but I've just spent like the last 7 years trashing the Kings on like podcasts and laughing with Draymond Green about it. I can't in good faith join you on this team.
Yeah, like, sorry, kiddo.
Yeah.
You know, I've been talking about this nonstop for 4 years, but now that you're at the Sacramento Kings.
I have to draw a hard line in the sand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of want it to happen to really test LeBron on his...
It would be a huge
on what
test.
He's been planning.
Because that's not just Michael Jordan or the Wizards. That's like Michael Jordan to the Bobcats, you know what I mean?
Michael Jordan to the Beijing Ducks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, we'll kind of see how it goes. I think that it's probably crossed the mind of it's got to cross the mind of at least 10 teams right
now. I think so. I just cannot wait to see how many teams, what they give up to get Bronny, how high they take him, and then also the absolute war to get Victor in the tankathon leading up, and then draft night is going to be super interesting.
Yes, it will be.
All right, mate. Interesting future ahead for OKC, especially if it even closely follows what we've sort of mapped out here.
Yeah, they just need to reach out and grab the opportunity by the balls.
Yeah, hopefully they do, or at least get Victor. Anyway, thanks for tuning in, everyone. We'll be back soon. In the meantime, feel free to leave some more feedback.
This is going to get roasted so hard.
Oh, people will say, this will never happen, you idiot.
I can imagine in the comments. I can imagine the comments right now. You fucking piece of shit.
Oh, there'll be plenty of that. Yeah. But, you know, even if they've enjoyed the ramblings, that's good enough for me. Yeah. So, yeah, jump in the comments. We'll catch you next week. I'm Nick Jungfer. He's Alex Sumsky. Catch you later.